Oh no, I'm fine, but I am ill now, a bit. But you don't have to worry, I am on demand. I'm swallowing pills and resting from my study, which is not very bad.
I think, yeah, it sounds great. Except for the pill part, I think it's perfect.
And I am good, actually.
What did you do today?
Nothing special, I guess ordinary routine. Went for a walk with my dog. The weather is really fantastic today. No wind and a lot of sun. And
it's very uncharacteristic of St. Petersburg.
Yeah, that's why it was a very good time outside. Mm-hmm. And what else did I do? And nothing, just same things. My friend is staying with me. My friend has spent 4 months in Mexico, and now she's on her way to Aborigine Chelny. And she's spending a couple of weeks here in St. Petersburg, mm-hmm. because her sister lives here, so they decided to go together. So now it's not that lonely, these couple of weeks.
From Mexico to Aborigine Chelny, it's a travel around the world.
Yeah, actually she is quite an experienced traveler. She's been in Europe, she's been in the United States, now Mexico. But as I understand, she's fallen in love with Mexico, and she has plans to come back mm-hmm. in summer. Mm. So what about you? How is your day?
I was planning to go outside at one point.
But it never happened.
I just saw that the weather was very bad, and I thought, no, not today. Yeah, and I drank coffee, which was a bad idea, actually. When I was a student, I used to drink like 5 or 6 cups of very strong coffee every day, because I slept like 3 or 4 hours a day. But since then, I don't really drink coffee, but today I did. And I have to move, I have to do something. And my hands tremble all the time. So I don't know. It's very weird.
You were a very responsible student, I see.
Yeah. Well, our studies were divided into the language part, the linguistics part, and the teaching part. And I never really cared about the teaching, so I even had bad marks there. As for the rest, the linguistics part, the literature part, yeah, I was quite responsible. Student, but most of my time was spent reading, so I deprived myself of sleep just to read some books, which was crazy. So, and that's it. And right now I'm preparing for my trip to Berlin. Not that language-wise, not really. I don't really remember anything about the language, so it's going to be a problem.
Right, are you going to bring me some souvenirs from Germany?
Yes, I was about to ask, what do you want? Do you want anything?
I want a magnet.
A magnet with what?
With I don't know.
A Reichstag.
What?
Yeah.
That
you can make a Soviet flag from a piece of paper. And decorate the Reichstag.
Someone already suggested I should do it. Got to bring a flag, some kind of a flag, and stick it into a Reichstag, or draw something on it, like I was there. Or I don't know, linguistic, like a small small advertisement. And yes. I don't know. So okay, a magnet for you, and Daniel, what do you want? Do you want anything?
Well, not from Germany.
There's no other option.
What countries have a common border with Germany?
I don't think that I'm going to reach them.
I'm very capricious.
Oh, no.
I don't know, maybe a magnet too.
Magnet, okay. All right, I will see. I will choose something for you.
And I am still hoping that you'll be able to make a video from Germany.
I will try. I will do that.
Facing the Reichstag or whatever. Whatever famous you will find there, so that you can be our special correspondent from Germany.
introduction is on me today again. Thanks to her, our website is studied and estimated by people we have no idea about. Thanks to her, again, these people are many and their opinions are positive. She is Asia.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
To her, we are grateful for the fact that Linguisto.ru is associated in the minds of our dear listeners and visitors with bright, colourful and funny artistry, who makes us admire and smile. She is Landish.
Thank you very much.
The third voice is that of an unprejudiced international relations wannabe expert who won't let you forget that every week in the world happens something that could lead to anything. He is Daniel. Rebels in Central African Republic have seized control of the capital, Bangui, after fierce fighting forcing its president to flee. The population of the capital is 600,000, but it is said that there are no casualties among the civilians, and only those houses are looted that belonged to army officials and members of the ruling family, which gives this mutiny a Robin the Hood spirit. A spokesman for the Seleka Rebel Coalition, it is called that, claimed that under new government the country will have elections with the representation of all political groups, not only president's loyalists. However, the situation is quite unclear. On the one hand, 6 South African soldiers were killed in that attack, but on the other hand, several days ago the official army's helicopter killed several peacekeepers, among whom were Chadians. And Central African Republic's president, François Bozizé, came to power with the help of Chad, another African republic. Thus, another dictator and traitor was toppled, but, as it is often the case with Africa, it doesn't necessitate a bright future for this country.
I think that it is going to lead to another dictatorship, because it's always like that with Africa.
I will check what is going to happen in Central African Republic. I call Africa the black continent, not because I am a racist, but because people here are living in the state of constant fear and anxiety, and as if a black cloud over this continent.
Mm-hmm.
I would say almost every time I am preparing for a podcast, I look through African rubric in newspapers, and every time there is some military action, so I could reveal one every week, but don't want to worry our listeners too much.
It's a bit depressing, yeah. But yeah. I do agree that it doesn't necessarily mean that that kind of protest will lead to any type of democracy or it will topple the government. Because if you remember Gaddafi, he was actually the one who led the revolution in Libya and wanted to topple the dictatorship and became one of the fiercest dictators of our time.
I don't know if it is going to be the case with Central African Republic. The reason for that mutiny was a political reason. It wasn't because people's rights were somehow restricted, but because not every group of population was represented in the national parliament and in the elections. Very similar to the situation in Russia, for example.
When are we going to finally rise and get rid of Putin? I don't know.
Oh, never.
Never.
Because in Africa, Africa is... Central African Republic may be a bit similar to Russia, but Africa itself is not, because there are too many states and people and weapons and problems on such a relatively not large territory. In Russia, there is no that much weapons.
Well, how do you know that?
I think it is...
I believe that if I moved to Africa, I would hear gunshots every 2 or 3 days, and in Russia it isn't so yet.
I remember remember that we discussed with us already the current political situation in Russia, but we didn't record it, actually, if you remember. It was the first podcast.
Did I ever talk about politics?
Yeah, we did. We did. It was the first podcast, but it wasn't recorded. the program failed somehow. What do you think about the current political situation? What do you think about Putin?
I am not very much interested in Russian politics. I am international relations.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about it. So I have actually two pieces of news. Something that Neil would like and something that Asha likes. But I will start with the one which would please the Neil. So in the 1960s, the Central Intelligence Agency recruited an unusual agent, a cat. A veterinary surgeon transformed the furry feline into an elite spy, implanting a microphone in her ear canal and a small radio transmitter at the base of her skull, and weaving a thin wire antenna into her long grey and white fur. This was Operation Acoustic Kitty, a top secret plan to turn a cat into a living walking surveillance machine. The leaders of the project hoped that by training the feline to go sit near foreign officials, they could eavesdrop on private conversations. The problem was that cats are not especially trainable, and the agency's RoboCat didn't seem terribly interested in national security. The first Acoustic Kitty mission was to eavesdrop on two men in park outside the Soviet compound on Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, D.C. The cat was released nearby, but was hit and killed by a taxi almost immediately. Subsequent tests also failed. Shortly thereafter, the project was considered a failure and declared to be a total loss. The project was cancelled in 1967. Today, once again, the US government is looking to animal-machine hybrids to safeguard the country and its citizens. In 2006, for example, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, zeroed in on insects, asking the nation's scientists to submit innovative proposals to develop technology to create insect cyborgs.
Oh my. Wow. And who drove that taxi? Maybe it was a Soviet man.
Well, probably.
He knew. and he was a sadist. How could he hit a cat?
So why didn't they use dogs for such experiments?
Dogs are barking, and it impedes the eavesdropping.
Cats are really untrainable.
Yeah, they are actually. I have my cat. He's 7 years old, and the only thing that he does sometimes when he has a good mood, he can give you his paw. Yeah, when you ask him, please, August, give me your paw.
How do you know that when he's in a good mood? So when he gives you a paw, then that means that he's in a good mood.
Yeah, that means that he's it's okay. He thinks, all right, maybe if I give her a paw, she'll probably go away sooner and leave me alone.
To me, cats sometimes do look like, you know, some international spies, because they always look somewhere. They always go somewhere. You don't know. Their whiskers are always directed somehow, and you don't know why they are directed way.
They must be some kind of sort of antennas from aliens, and they transmit those.
There are two opinions: whether the whiskers they feel radio signals or they feel ghosts.
Sometimes, actually, he looks somewhere in the corner and, observes something, see some kind of movements, and I think that he sees poltergeists or ghosts. But I think in reality there is like a small fly flying around.
Actually, I think this is very possible that he sees some kind of a ghost. Actually a ghost, maybe some kind of energy or something like that, because surprisingly my dog does the same in my parents' house. Very often in the evening she gets very uneasy, mm-hmm. So she starts walking in circles, so she sometimes even barks. For those of you who don't know my dog, Lola actually doesn't bark at all usually, so she must be really overexcited if she barks. And that happens maybe, like, I would say 5 times a month. and she gets really very scared. And I don't really know what it's all about, but maybe she sees something that we don't see. So that's why I'm saying maybe the same thing is happening with August.
That's not a very comforting thought. So that I have ghosts in my house.
Well, maybe these are not ghosts. Maybe some kind of...
There must be some kind.
Something that you don't see and he sees.
Oh. It's like this famous picture, I Want to Believe.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
With a flying saucer.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
excites me.
Once I woke up because of this strange sound, as someone was eating something, because we had double bed, two-storied bed, and I heard sounds of chewing and eating from the upper bed. I just lay there for like 10 minutes, then stood up and tried to check what is there, but there was nothing. No. Oh. This is the only time when something really strange happened in my life. Yeah.
I got creeps.
Well,
you don't sound like you got
creeps. Yeah, I'm very sarcastic, actually. Come on.
News from Russia. St. Petersburg Governor Georgi Potavchenko introduced a ban on officials that forbids them to have a personal car that costs more than 1,100,000 rubles. The governor's aspiration is most noble, of course, but the officials are not likely to let go of their luxurious cars and have less gorgeous ones instead. While this tendency, officials with high demands, is common for Russia, in St. Petersburg it began in 2004 with Valentina Matvienko. She encouraged luxury with her example and made rich presents to her loyalists. In the period from 2006 to 2013, hundreds of millions of rubles were channeled to provide officials with cars that would correspond to their social status. Those who choose cheaper cars, use public transportation or their own feet are too few to reverse the tendency even in St. Petersburg, let alone in Russia. Well, articles like that always raise hatred in me. I picture these fat, arrogant officials, parliamentarians,
and I don't think that it is possible to make them have less luxurious cars. I always remember, if you know, is he a current mayor of London, Boris Johnson? I saw once photos of him. He always takes subway, a tube, yeah, as they call it in London, and doesn't really, I don't think that he has a car. And he's like a normal person and doesn't need anything, doesn't need that type of luxury, like our
maybe
officials.
It's just
you think that it's just for how do you call it, public image?
Yes, maybe he does it on purpose. If
he's quite a crazy person, I wouldn't be surprised if he just does it because he likes it.
Well, I don't know, because you know Vladimir Putin has what car does he have? Kalina.
Yeah, I know. No,
and he's always in the news sitting in his Kalina and saying how good it is, something like that, when it goes to cars. But I mean, we do understand that it's just for his image.
For advertisement. It's for his image and advertisement also.
Yeah, so that's why...
I would be convinced, maybe, if you took the Moscow Metropolitan to work. Then, yeah, especially in the rush hour, that would probably get me thinking. But no, Kalina? Really? I don't know.
Have you read that rubric in Esquire magazine that is called Esquire Numbers?
No.
This is a very, well, exciting reading sometimes. And I have for several occasions read crazy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that millions of rubles were spent to provide officials in different cities throughout Russia with pens or with organizers or with notepads, millions and hundreds of thousands of rubles.
I think it's a good way to launder some money. Say that, well, I think that this 1 million, we can say that we have to, you know, order some pens. Sorry. When my mother worked at school, there was this problem, like, for example, you had to write, you know, your expenses, because she was head of, I don't remember, so she was responsible for ordering stuff for the school. And sometimes, you know, the numbers do not fit, and you had to, I don't know why I'm saying this, forget about it. Okay. Sorry. I was trying to make a point, but then I forgot what kind of point I wanted to make.
Okay, do not delete it from the podcast.
I'm going to delete it.
There is one thing I don't understand about in this situation. These officials, they must see that their demands, their people know about it, and people hate them for it, and they still keep on doing this.
When you have a lot of money and you actually go to them in a not a very righteous way, yeah, by stealing, it is not considered a sin anymore. It is actually considered like something that you can look up to. I don't think that people in Russia want to get their money in a good way. I don't know how to explain it. Sorry, I'm very bad today. I don't know why. Why are you silent? Sorry.
We are still on your previous thought about school.
Yes.
What school?
What school?
Where your mother was working, oh, actually. Yeah.
Next one is for Asya. Special for Asya.
Wow.
Yeah. Oregon school cancels zombie survival classes.
Oh my god, no!
Yeah, actually they did. Ensuring students will be eaten by zombies. Some kind of a middle school, I don't remember the name, had what is perhaps the greatest junior high social studies class ever, zombie survival skills. But the killjoy parents and administrators put the kibosh on the post-apocalyptic class, feeling that undead studies were not appropriate for growing minds. The class focused largely on real-world survival skills and also had a reading and writing component. We don't know how much of the class focused on weaponry, but all joking aside, framing a class in terms of the zombie apocalypse does sound like a cool way to get kids interested in survival skills like foraging, compass reading, and the like. Apparently, parents were a bit surprised to learn the school was teaching a class with such a violent subject matter. But the class was quickly cancelled to be replaced by an exploratory reading class. But, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Exploratory reading... Boo. Won't necessarily mean that the kids won't be reading about gory undead monsters. So, what do you think?
I think this is a fantastic class. I would like to attend this class.
A perfect idea.
I wonder if... You remember in one of our first podcasts, we were talking about survival zombie kits.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about this news when there's one American shop which actually sells survival zombie kits consisting of very stupid things such as food, mm-hmm. knife, and maybe a lighter or something like that at extremely high prices. So I wonder if this kind of where is it in Oregon?
Yeah.
I wonder if this school received any support from that from that store, from that website, from that internet store.
I think they probably learned to make their own survival kits.
So they became a competitor to that store then.
We all had, I guess, back in school that game called Zarnica.
What?
What?
you know, a bunch of school children racing here and there with compasses and ropes and stuff. It was organized by school, and with zombies, it would have been a lot more exciting, mm-hmm. I believe.
Well, from the point of view of children, it's very exciting, and it is a good way to actually engage them in that type of activities.
So that when zombies come, they are prepared.
Exactly. I read somewhere that today children and youth is actually more prepared for zombie apocalypse than for the temporary what do you call it, the shortcut, yeah, of energy, of what do you call it, the lack of electricity.
Oh.
Shortage.
Yeah, I killed the joke. Sorry.
blackout, what?
Yeah, yes, blackout, exactly.
Well, I guess they are supposed to go together, zombie apocalypse and this blackout.
I would go there to Oregon, but not to attend these classes, but to play, to act as a zombie for it. I do a zombie greatly.
You have some experience?
I can moan.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you can share your experience with us. Wow. What was it?
Something like that. Oh, one day in the university, we fooled around, did zombie walk and zombie moan and stuff like that. And, I was great. I can make my eyes go white. So, I would make a great zombie, I believe.
Well, you don't have to go to Oregon to scare the people.
Oh, I want to do that on a constant and legal basis.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, then yes.
Get some kind of a license.
We have to go to Oregon, all three of us then.
I don't think that it's a good idea because the kids there are prepared actually.
But you know, the fact is that we are not real zombies, and so their strategies, their tools will not work against us.
Well, it depends on what kind of tools they use.
Well, how do they find zombies? Garlic or is it vampires?
Garlic is from vampires. I think with zombies, it's mostly beheading.
the destruction of brain, to be more exact.
Yes.
Okay, then.
So,
maybe we have to send Daniel alone.
What is the best weapon against zombies?
You mean if you are a zombie or if you are...
No, again, no.
Again or against?
Against the zombie.
Oh, well.
Everything that can smash, that can cut, can tear.
Yeah, a gun is probably a bad idea.
Gun is not a very good idea because the number of bullets is... Yes. But yeah. a bat.
A gun is not a good idea. Axe,
yeah. Okay.
A shovel.
Shovel.
That would be great. You can cut heads with the iron side, and you can smash their heads with the other side.
Yeah, it's very much like our babushka style. just use something that you have.
The results of a recently published psychological study showed that placebo effect is present in every medical intervention. In that study, 97% of 783 general practitioners admitted that they had recommended a sugar pill or any other treatment with no established efficacy. That would have been a grand scandal had it not been for the placebo effect. Psychologists have repeatedly proven that it stimulates our bodies to heal themselves, since processes in our brain and in the rest of our organism are closely interconnected. The study demonstrated that not only our attitude towards our health helps recuperate, but also that of doctors. If some famous medical expert, for instance, tells you personally or through a broadcast that some treatment or pill will cure your illness, and if he talks in a confident manner, it is most likely that the placebo effect will be triggered. Have you ever experienced the placebo effect?
I don't really.
I only listen to placebo music.
But I must be similar. Did you feel well after listening to them?
Yeah, I like this band very much. What is the placebo effect all about? It's when you believe that the medicine will help you and it helps you.
Yes.
Oh. And it can be just, Daniel said, like a sugar.
To cut long story short, you're given glass of water, and you are told that it is a glass of medication. And you believe it, you drink it, and it actually helps.
No, never.
Though there is no medication in the glass.
You know, there are lots of people who actually make money on it. For example, they offer you some kind of a super magical pill, and they say that it is going to help you with your problems, and you believe it actually, and you think that it helps, and you pay more money every time that you receive it.
It is actually the case, because you know that every advertised medication has an equivalent, and that equivalent is a lot cheaper than the brand medication.
I guess all these weight loss medications are also based on this. They do not actually help you lose the weight. I think the only thing that helps one lose the weight is just eating less.
Yes, of course.
But people believe that it helps, so they buy it.
Yeah, maybe they notice some changes.
Actually, I believe there aren't any changes at all, but eventually they just think, well, the medication is probably very good, but I just eat too much, so that's why it didn't help me.
Maybe I have to get some more, maybe it takes time.
But the only reason is that this medication is useless, because you don't even need this medication, you just need to eat less.
Yeah, and the same case is, for example, with people who can, I don't know, not psychics, but those who claim that they can heal people with the power of their mind. I think it's the same deal.
They tell you the most predictable facts, such as, for example, there's been a lot of suffering in your life, or there's someone really special in your life, or something like almost everyone has. So and the person who and the client is just thinking, how does she know? How do you know about Peter? Yes, Peter. Now I see his name.
I remembered one day my friend and I were on the way back to our student house, and we met a gypsy prophet, so to speak. She started to pretend to predict something for my friend, not for me, and she knew that we are students, because she has lived by our student house for all her life. She uttered something like, you're a student. I see you're a student.
Incredible.
And you have problems with your study.
Anything else? Did she say anything else?
I stopped listening to her. When you deal with the gypsies, you have to have a companion by you, by your side.
Yeah.
Because if my friend was alone, maybe he would give another 50 rubles over what he had already given her.
I think that it is time for part 4 of The Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the Brilliant Comrade.
Finally.
Yeah. The ghost of Kim Jong-il disappeared. "I hate this controlling SOB," mumbled Kimmy and headed to see his generals. The room was filled with old, heavily decorated men who, by the look of them, had seen the annexation of their state by the Japanese and the Soviets alike. And I mean, there were hundreds of them, if not thousands. "Why did my daddy have them?" wondered Kim. "Did they make him look less ancient?" Once the generals saw the supreme leader, they lined into perfect rows and started singing the national anthem. "Oh no, not again," cried Kimmy. "Just shut up already and tell me the news." "Our dear supreme leader and the sun over our heads," started General Song Kung. "Our people in our land would not survive a single day without your blessed hand guiding us through the mist of..." Yeah, blah, blah. "Changez le disque. Say it like you mean it." Kim looked annoyed. And that was a bad sign. A really, really bad sign. Like Pol Pot for Cambodians bad. Or any type of major disasters for America bad. Or George W. Bush for art bad. "Okay," said the general. "Well, it turns out that there's a small non-profit podcast called somewhere in Russia. They seem to understand our values and worship us. I think we've got to contact them and use as spies." "Oh, do they praise me and adore me?" "They do. especially the girl called Run. For Pete's sake, why can't they have simple names like Lin Song or Cho Yong Rim or Park Yu Chin? I mean, how hard can it be? Not interested. Neither Korean girl, that's bad for the image. Nor a Moroccan princess, so no chance. I respect myself, Song Kun. What, are you trying to pimp me to some Russians? Just saying, Supreme Leader. Russia will soon be our colony, replied Kim. And Putin will be flexing his muscles under our reign. I think I will let him star in our propaganda films. It seems that's the only thing that he truly wants to do. His six-pack shouldn't be hidden under a suit, man. I think we have to make our version of Avengers. I love this movie. I'm going to be Iron Man, because he's super sexy. I'll have Putin as Hulk, and probably Kim Clinton as Captain America. Well, Angela will be Black Widow, of course, and Berlusconi as Hawkeye. And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as Loki. Have you seen Mexican President Peña Nieto? A man must not be allowed to be this attractive. We'll dress him as Thor and put a wig on his head. Doesn't matter he's Latino. We'll blackmail James Cameron, keep him in a dungeon, and he'll direct it for free. Damn, I can't wait. It's such a pity that my wife let herself be kidnapped by Americans. We could have bombed the USA by that time and started to shoot the movie already. I had to get a wife who knew how to kung fu. About that, Supreme Leader, said humbly the general. Your daddy faxed us from hell. Today we came up with a plan to get you to the US. Hit me, said Kim, excited about the prospects of global domination offered him. We will change your appearance using the most advanced technologies, change your face, your eyes, fingerprints. You'll even smell differently. Can I smell like peaches? Of course, Supreme Commander, said the general after a small pause. You will receive an ID and all the documents under the name of Miso Fat, as well as a complete wardrobe and plane tickets. From now on, you'll be a middle-aged IT specialist who goes to work for an American company. To be continued.
Have you thought of making a comic book of it?
Comic book?
It sounds very much like a comic book, actually.
Yes, it does. This is why I am asking.
Maybe. But if you make a comic book, it will not be possible to put on those, you know, descriptions.
Descriptions, yes.
I think that we're going to make, well, definitely going to make a book of it, and I will make some, you know, comic-like.
Comic version, like light version.
Light version. We'll see. Yeah.
Written by Landish, illustrated by Landish, funded by Kim Jong-un.
Yes. I have to contact him somehow.
We have to email him. All right, dear listeners. If you want to study English with linguist of Tim, you are very welcome to send us an email or anything.
He's writing to us. Yeah, actually, I noticed that. Well, I can judge only by some websites that we upload our podcast on, that we have, you know, the number of the audience is actually increasing with every day, and it's so great. I think that one day we will have to make maybe a small map of people, and it will be very interesting actually to ask if you live in, or if you listen to our podcast in a, you know, in a strange place or somewhere. It would be very interesting to know that, to hear where people actually listen to us from. What places on the earth?
Yeah, agree. So you can email us at info@linguistof.ru. Show your appreciation. Maybe
admiration.
Admiration. Yes.
Loyalty.
Yes. So, all positive feedbacks are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? And you can visit our website, which is www.linguistof.ru, and our group in vk.com/linguistof to see the wonderful artwork made by Landish, wonderful articles written by all of us, I would say, and some very useful information for those who study English or for those who just love English.
Yeah. I can't wait to have visitors that actually speak English. I want to have foreigners listening to our podcast.
Yeah, that's why I think it's very interesting to know if someone who's not Russian actually listens to us. So I do encourage listeners to write to us about your location.
Well, actually, that was quite a problem when we were trying to register on iTunes. If your location is Russia, the description was supposed to be in Russian. So, and the language was set as Russian.
Yeah, but we do not speak Russian here.
Exactly. So that's why I guess
we
shouldn't set high hopes, thinking that there are a lot of foreign listeners. Probably the majority of the listeners are Russian, or they used to live in Russia. Mm-hmm. So somehow their iTunes is in Russian.
But it doesn't matter.
So anyway, dear listeners, you are welcome to write to us.
And I think that we will not have podcast next week.
It actually depends. If you have Wi-Fi.
I mean, we will record it, but I will not be able to edit it till I get back. We will record it, of course. But I think that I will upload it maybe on the 8th or the 9th. So Monday,
you will have to teach me how to edit podcasts when you are in St. Petersburg, so that I can substitute you in case you are unavailable.
Yeah, of course.
I suppose it's no way Landish will let you.
Yeah, it's a type of a power that I have, and I'm not going to share it with anyone. Yeah.
Right. All right. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you.
As always.
As always. Mm.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
So long.